An ancillary question regarding how do we find our value in this economy is a much more visceral question. Am I rich?
If I were a rich man, da 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 da.
Who is rich? It pushes a lot of buttons.
Eat the rich. There's only one thing the land is good for. Eat the rich.
Am I rich? Eat the rich. So, who is rich?
Hi, my name is Christy. I'm calling from Martinez, California. I have a very easy job. I do security for a biotech firm. And most of my job is mostly observing and stopping occasionally suspicious-looking people. So I believe I get compensated fairly. I mean, obviously, I could use a few more bucks here and there. But for what I do, I get paid fairly.
Thanks, Christy. Christy kind of sounds rich there. But is it just that she's happy? You know, each one of my children, for various reasons, has asked that very same question. Mommy, Daddy, are we rich? And my answer to that over the years has been yes, or maybe, or compared to what, dear? And sometimes it's yes, even though there's a gnawing feeling inside that I feel as far from rich as you can get. A feeling that is real, even if the idea numerically is absurd. You may have noticed in the media all that talk back during debates in Congress over tax breaks for the rich and the cutoff point for the tax breaks, typically around an annual income of $250,000 a year. Now, you would regularly hear pundits on financial channels saying things like, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but here in New York, try sending your kid to private school and paying rent in a decent neighborhood. Hey, folks, it's not rich, blah, 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 blah. Well, who is rich? I mean, according to new data from the Associated Press, 20% of American adults at some point in their lives earn at least $250,000 a year. This class of the I can't believe I'm rich is a new kind of middle class, a feast and famine class, that better not spend it all now class, a just enough to be able to see how far away from total financial security the really wealthy are. And for most Americans, give me a break, $250,000, hey, just shut up. With us is Michael Norton, professor at Harvard Business School and co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
This is a really subtle idea, this notion of rich. And is the $250,000 mark just a sign of inflation, or is there a realignment in the economy going on in some way?
I think if you think about what it means to be rich, you can think about if you had $250,000 for 1 year of your life versus if you had that guaranteed for every year of your life. So the new data suggests that many Americans, probably more than we think, will at least one time have that amount of money. It doesn't mean they're going to have it next year, and it doesn't mean they had it last year. It doesn't necessarily mean they're rich so much as they had one good year, and maybe in other years they're still struggling.
You know, it's almost like to have financial security, we need to think more like, you know, an athlete for the NFL or the NBA, that you're going to have three good seasons and you better plan for most of your life not being on the court or on the field, and that that's the way most Americans need to look at this $250,000 figure if they're in the workforce.
I think that's exactly right. And again, if you think about what it means to be rich, let's say you've got a house that cost you $1 million. Well, that's great, but if you're $2 million in debt, you're not rich, and making $250,000 isn't going to help that much in terms of getting you out of the hole. If you think about everything you have minus everything you owe, that's really the way to think about whether you're rich or not, not your income in any given year.
So income isn't a good way of viewing the 1%, 99% trade-off that gets batted around in the media all the time. Is that what you're saying on some level?
It's related to it, but if you look at inequality of income and inequality of wealth, and often we confuse the two, but they are really – income is just what you made this year, and wealth is everything that you have. It turns out that income inequality is much less than wealth inequality, that it's really wealth that's really distributed very differently among Americans. Income is as well, but wealth is really where we see these big disparities.
Who do we think these 250K folks are? They're not probably doctors who go work in the Philippines. They're probably not – people selling antiques on eBay, both of whom we spoke with this hour, who seem very, very happy and very, very rich, spiritually speaking. Who are these 250K folks?
I think a lot of these people are, and if you look at the data as well in the survey, they're people who did kind of have one good year. And they're not really rich in the way that we think that all of their problems are solved and every day they just walk around with a huge smile on their face. And in fact, most research suggests that it isn't really the amount of money you have that makes you happy anyway. It's these warm and fuzzy things like having friends and family and having a partner who loves you. Even if you hit, if you're lucky enough to hit $250,000 a year, it just doesn't mean all your problems are solved.
You know, in looking at this survey, it really reminded me that, you know, philosophically speaking, we are back in the 1930s in the way we view the economy. I mean, you go to college and you're going to find a secure job. That's just not the way things work anymore. I'm wondering if we should reorient our society to taking advantage of that great year, both for the security of the individual workers, but also getting them to invest that money and make jobs better or companies better, or just use it as more of an economic force rather than simply going, I hope I get a job. And then when you get fired, realizing there's no job security anyway. And I just think it's really outmoded. And there needs to be a happy money science of smarter spending approach to the economy as a whole.
We really do try to encourage both individuals to think about, given all the money you're going to make in your life, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, how are you going to use that to have the best outcomes for yourself? And we do, in fact, talk to companies and governments to think about how do we encourage everyday people to use the money that they have. And again, not all of us are lucky enough to have, you know, $250,000. But even if you make less money than that, how do you use that money to really improve the quality of your life in the long run rather than focus on buying stuff for yourself today that really isn't going to change your life very much?
What about the idea that came in really the 1960s, cost of living increases, the idea that you're going to find a job that's going to track you incrementally upward so that you're always going up? In fact, a lot of people are really going down now incrementally.
That's right. The data shows that if you look at the gains in income over the last 20 to 30 years, almost all of those gains have gone to the very wealthiest Americans and people who make the minimum wage. We know the minimum wage hasn't changed because it's been in the media a lot lately. But even the middle class, people's outcomes have not changed. And if anything, their real wages, their purchasing power, has gone down over the last 30 years in America. That's really very different than how most Americans think about America, which is the middle class prospers along with the rest of the nation. We really have not seen that since the 1980s.
So a couple of ways of thinking about you, Michael Norton, professor at Harvard Business School, successful author, top of your game, right? Or an academic, you're struggling. Do you feel rich?
I feel subjectively rich, meaning that my life is very, very good in terms of my everyday life. I think in our research, we often ask people how much money will make you happy. And people nearly always say two or three times as much as I have right now. And that means you're never going to be happy with how much money you have. It's time to start shifting from thinking about money and starting to think about the other things in your life that make you happy as a way to really have a good life.
Well, thanks so much for speaking with us, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael Norton is professor at Harvard Business School, co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. So are you a rich man or woman? And regardless of your wealth or value, are you compensated fairly for what you do? Oakland, California. I was fortunate enough to teach for 33 years. I worked with elementary level special education students and loved my job passionately. I was proud to be doing real work, important work. My district paid well compared to others in the area, and I considered my passion to be a component of my remuneration. Well, that is some great wisdom. You can be a part of the conversation. Be one of our listeners. I'm John Hockenberry. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.